Here we go.
All right. Okay, so welcome all. And as Lisa has indicated, today is February 19th, 2023, the second invitation Sunday lesson. So I'm pleased to present this material, and Russell is going to give me a hand with the technical side of it. Okay, Russell, let's go to the next slide. Okay, so the work assignment here was, as far as preparing the lesson, was to research the sealed book as it referred to the book of Isaiah and to the information contained in the sealed book. And this was an interesting assignment because, as we know, those who have had the chance to study the Book of Mormon, that is, there are many, many references to the book of Isaiah. And this is true throughout the New Testament as well. And why that's so important is because Isaiah is the prophet who entered into the presence of the Lord. And he also was the one who recorded the future, especially as it unfolds in our time, making his prophecies some of the most important records recorded in the Bible. Also, we know that Isaiah was the one who prophesied the coming of the Messiah on the earth during his mortal ministry. So looking at the sealed book, I'm beginning with 3 Nephites chapter 7.
I want to make one
Russell.
comment. Isaiah was also a master at language and putting things together that most people just don't understand what he's really done for us.
Thank you, Russell. And everyone, please jump in as you feel inspired to make a comment here. Also, Russell, that reminds me that the Isaiah scrolls were discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and they confirm the accuracy of the account that's recorded in the King James Bible, or the Bible that we have. And also, there's some history there about how these records were preserved, which was a miraculous thing. Dedicated people memorized sections of the book so that they could be reconstructed in the event that the physical records were destroyed. That's how important it was that these records be preserved and be handed down for our time to provide guidance to us. What's particularly challenging about Isaiah is that it's not always necessarily that transparent, and you have to understand the ways and the methods for interpreting his writing so that you can apply them. So again, beginning with the third 3 Nephites chapter 7, it starts out with this idea that the words of this book will accomplish the fulfilling or fulfillment of the prophecies of Isaiah when these seals are opened. So 3 Nephi references this idea that the prophecies of Isaiah would be fulfilled in coordination with the coming forth of the sealed records, and when these records would be open. Does anyone have a comment about that? That I believe there's a linkage between the coming forth of these records and the fulfillment of the prophecies of Isaiah. Okay, Russell, let's go to the next slide. When we talk about the sealed book or sealed records, we're familiar with Isaiah chapter 29, where Isaiah refers to the books being sealed. And in the book shall be a revelation from God from the beginning of the world to the ending thereof. Now, this is part of what's in the sealed record. And I will bring them forth in mine own due time. So there's a sealed portion and an unsealed portion. And as we know, in the sealed book, it's our understanding that a large half of the record is still sealed, and it will come forth in its own due time of the Lord. And then I've got a last highlight down there, until I shall see fit in mine own wisdom to reveal all things unto the children of men.
I just want to make one comment. Even the record that we have that we can read is still sealed to us without the Spirit to enlighten our understanding.
Excellent. That's an excellent point, Russell. So there's, and I, maybe if I can just talk, just your comment caused me to think about that we can acquire greater knowledge through our relationship with the Lord. And it is a personal and individual relationship. And as we seek to strengthen that relationship, we do receive greater light, truth, and knowledge. And those things make the path more clear to us as world events and the events in our life unfold around us. But why I think it's so significant that this information is presented in the seal book is because it is my belief that we are entering into the last stages of this dispensation or this time, and that the prophecies of Isaiah are to be fulfilled. And it is very important for us, therefore, to understand what those prophecies are and how they apply to us individually and to our families and our circumstances, so that we can be better prepared to address the things which the Lord has told us in advance will take place as a part of the end times. And these things will be revealed to us as we seek diligently to understand and know these things. Okay, Russell, next page. The sealed book concept and idea is recorded throughout the scriptures. And here we see in Daniel. I love Daniel. Daniel, he talks about how he had also, like Isaiah, Daniel enters into the presence of the Lord. But those words are closed and sealed up until the time of the end. And so I believe that this is another kind of confirmation that these things are coming forward at a particular time, and it is the end time. And then in Revelations, it was sealed with seven seals. So one of the most, you know, famous books in the world, Book of Revelation. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? How are these things going to be opened? Okay, Russell, let's go to the next slide. Okay, then from the sealed Book of Mormon, we find in the Book of Ether, chapter 3, that these things should be, and he commanded that I should seal them up.
Well, that's not the sealed book. That's in the regular Book of Mormon.
Oh, is that? I'm sorry. Okay, you're right. That is Ether from the Book of Mormon. And he also hath commanded me that I should seal up the interpretation thereof, according to the commandment of the Lord. And they shall not go forth unto the Gentiles until the day that they shall repent of their iniquity and become clean before the Lord. Okay, so in the sealed book, we're talking about, and also Isaiah, we're talking about when these things would come forward, until the day that they shall repent of their iniquities and become clean before the Lord. And I'm going to suggest that this may be a personal challenge to us individually as we're seeking to gain this knowledge, but it also could apply to the people as a whole. Russell, you got any comment there?
No, I think that's great.
Okay, good.
The Gentiles, yeah. Who are they? I keep sometimes thinking about it. The other slide, yes.
Well, the Gentiles are us. We like to think of us being the term visible. We're not. We're the Gentiles. As DNC 60 or 109 verse 60 spells out, where Joseph Smith says that, I'll find it and pull it up here.
But does this sentence mean they shall not go forth unto the Gentiles, they shall repent of their iniquity? It is gone forth unto the Gentiles then, right? If we are the Gentiles or not.
I'm not sure it's totally gone forth yet. It's in process. We're in the process of repenting, is my thought.
Yes, every day.
Okay, that's a great comment, because go forth unto the Gentiles. Now, what your comment caused me to think about, are we by adoption somehow part of the tribe of Israel? Does that somehow possibly privilege us to more advanced information? I don't know. And as I said, introducing this lesson, a lot of these things are pretty complex. but it's good just to sort of talk about it. But the general concepts, I believe, are in place with the sealed book coming forward and other records coming forward, that I think we can assert with some degree of confidence that we are in the end times when the prophecies of Isaiah are to be fulfilled, and that we should understand those prophecies. But also, as a part of those prophecies, he talked about other records that would come forth that would contain the mysteries of God. And those may be part of the remaining sealed section of the plates of Mormon.
Okay.
Is my thought on that.
Yeah. I want to quote D&C 109, verse 60. It says, "Now these words, O Lord, we have spoken before thee concerning the revelations and commandments which thou hast given unto us, who are identified with the Gentiles." And you can also go to the title page of the Book of Mormon, where it talks about where the book's going to, the Jews and the Gentiles and the lost sheep tribe. Anyway, we are the Gentiles. We like to believe that, well, we're adopted in, we're really Israelites, but that's not really what the scriptures are talking about. I think we are the Gentiles in general in the definition. But anyway.
That sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty accurate there, Russell. I think you hit that pretty well. That with the earth, the children of the earth are broken into tribes, and we're part of the Gentile nations. And we know the historical origin of the Gentile nations, and it's described in the Book of Mormon. He saw the nations of the kingdoms of the Gentiles, and we know the geographical area from which those peoples originate. And so I think those are things that help give us a clue about who the Gentiles are.
Well, as some of us are probably from a tribe, I think it's a mix, maybe.
Yes, it could be.
Because there has to be some Israelites among us, probably. You know, I think.
back to the title page. This is what it actually says: "Written to the Lamanites, who are a remnant of the house of Israel, and also to the Jew and Gentiles." So we're not Lamanites and we're not Jews. So the one we're left with is Gentile.
I don't know if I'm not a Jew, but...
Maybe you're a Jew. maybe some of us are Jew.
I don't know. There's so much I don't know. So
sure, it's possible.
But it's a good point, and that's great, a great source in terms of kind of classifying who we are. And I'm not sure that that's necessarily so important. Because the Lord is no respecter of persons. So it doesn't matter what your origin or your tribal connection is. It's going to be far more important that these records are going to come forth when the people have prepared themselves in terms of their righteousness. And I'm just, as I was working through this material, I was getting the sense that personal righteousness would make a difference in terms of the timing and the extent of knowledge that would become available to you to guide yourself and your family members during these increasingly difficult times. So that was kind of the point of that. Okay, so let's look at Moroni 38. This is from the sealed book, Isaiah.
Well, why does it say Moroni 38, but then it says 37 at the beginning of the verse?
Russell, I just picked it up from the book. That's how the page was headed up.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Moroni just by the verse.
Yes, so yes, okay.
Verse, yeah, so that's how the page was headed up. Okay, the last one-third of the record of revelations of John, written by the three Nephites, "For inasmuch that they saw these things revealed by an apostle of the Lord, whose name was John, when they were caught up and transfigured before the throne of God, were shown unto them all things unspeakable from the mysteries of heaven." Now this, "but because of the command which they received in heaven to keep this knowledge sealed, they did not report it." Okay, so what might we expect to find in the sealed portion or the sealed records? Because this is the thing, we're trying to ascertain what information knowledge is available through those records. Well, I believe the sealed book is describing here, it's unspeakable, the unspeakable of the mysteries of heaven. And so my The way I connect to this information, the unspeakable mysteries of heaven, beyond, essentially beyond our comprehension, is I think of the accounts of those who have been in the presence of the Lord, and there are many in the record. Ezekiel comes to mind, where he describes the throne of heaven, and it is difficult to comprehend his description. But I also think of Moses when he was carried up and he saw the innumerable hosts of heaven and the worlds, innumerable worlds created as a part of the creation of God. The many mansions that extend beyond our comprehension as we gaze into space. These are the part of the mysteries of God. But also not only that, but it's how it was that these things were accomplished, how this work was done, how this earth came into being, and how it's managed, all its ecosystems, all these things are managed based on knowledge, which originates from faith and knowledge. And so these are the things that I think are becoming more available to us in these times, because knowledge is being poured out. And so understanding the sciences, we can get a better understanding. For example, we've now begun to understand the DNA, the code system or structure that is embedded in us that makes the creation of our physical bodies possible. These things, scientists are beginning to unravel these things. But these, I believe, are part of the mysteries of God, how these codes were put together in such a way that they create the life that we experience here on this earth. And so I think these are possibly some of the kinds of things that are recorded in and it's important for us as we strive to become like our Father, to be open to the idea that we can acquire this kind of information and this kind of knowledge, and that through our effort and our determination, we can acquire some of this knowledge, which will better prepare us for our service in the kingdom. Okay, next one, Russell. Okay, all right. So, I wanted to introduce my guest speaker today, and I hope Russell can pull this off. Okay, Russell, see if you can launch that first video there.
Sure.
Characters we should talk about a lot of things, but it turns out he's only going to translate the plates are 6 inches tall, and they're tight, and they're sealed tightly at the bottom, and there was a band over some, and there's 42 plates. Whoops.
That's just going to try to zoom out a little bit so I can see your fingers a little bit better.
I'm saying the whole stack is 6 inches tall. It used to be 2/3 of it was sealed, and the top 1/3 was both the Book of Lehi that was lost and the Book of Mormon that we have. Well, there's about a sixth that takes it down to half. The bottom half is totally sealed with two big rivets through the whole thing, like a nail with head on both sides that shut. But there were 42 plates that Mauricio was allowed to unseal in the presence of the 3 witnesses and the 8 witnesses. So there's 12 people that saw that being unsealed. Of those 42 plates, he has translated the first 19 into this book called The Sealed. But it's only 19 plates that he's translated, and there's going to be another 23 plates that he's still going to translate. I will be one of the witnesses of the next part that comes out of the 23 plates.
There's a sequel coming.
There's a sequel coming. But it doesn't come till we learn to live by what's in the first. I was astounded when I saw him, and I knew, there's no doubt in my mind, those are the real thing. This is not a fraud. It would cost a fortune to make a big stack of gold plates to engrave these characters on both sides. There's no way they had that money, but that's just logic. I got a spiritual witness that these are indeed the real plates.
Way to go, John.
Love it. Thank you.
Yeah, he had such a spirit. So Okay, that's good. So just I've watched this a couple times, but John breaks down the construction of the records. So we have the Book of Mormon and the Book of Lehi, I think was about one third of it. And then the plates that came forth with the opening of the second seal. But there are 42 plates that have not been translated. Does anyone want to make a comment on that? What's the holdup?
I think the 42 plates is the total. I think 19 plates have been translated and the rest haven't been.
That's right. Thanks, Russell. What's the holdup?
Us. We are the holdup.
Well, that's one of the points. Go ahead, Balkia.
I'm not sure, but no, I'm not going to say because I'm not sure. Sorry. But indeed, we are the holdup, Russell. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so let's kind of hold in. Don't take this personal. Be criticism, you know, as a criticism. When will the sealed portions come forth?
Which one do you mean now?
That's a great point, Balki, because there. It is complicated. So as Russell indicated, 42 pages, 19 have been translated, and there's still apparently an open section of pages to be translated. So let's talk about that. When does that come forth?
Well, but even in the ones that have been translated, as Mauricio was explaining last night, with the dash, there's a lot in there that has not been revealed to us because we're not ready to receive it. It's my understanding that the sealed portion that we have now is supposed to be teaching us how to live as a Zion people. And when we learn how to do that, when we learn how to put it into action, that's when the next portion will be unsealed. That's my guess.
I'm two thumbs up on that. This idea that it is we individually and as a community, you think of Zion and Enoch and perhaps the brother Jared, those people became a Zion society, a Zion-like people. And I want to suggest that there are certain laws and conditions that need to be in.
We lost Bill. Did we lose everybody?
I'm here.
I've got my autistic kid who wants to come in and be part of the presentation. What crazy Justin. Okay, so I was just saying that there are certain laws and conditions that need to be in place. And I believe this is part of the homework. What are the laws and conditions that are necessary to become a Zion society? And we know they existed in the past and they were translated. So I want to contend in this presentation that the sealed book and other records are pointing the direction towards this idea that we need to become a Zion-like people, and that there are certain laws and principles that need to be uncovered and practiced if we're able to meet that requirement.
Okay. So would you say like some of those things would be like living the law of consecration, helping the poor and needy, the widow, the orphan, those types of things, right? Would probably be part of that.
I absolutely believe so. That's a really great topic. This law of consecration. I believe this is also something that's coming forward. I think those are part of what's required. Russell, were you going to say something?
No. I was just going to say exactly what you just said.
Okay. So I'm going to say that this is kind of homework. You're going to do some soul searching within yourself. Also, I'm going to ask you, have you done your homework? Have you really studied to understand what those laws and principles are so that you can begin to, you know, without law, without wisdom, without this knowledge, and it's going to be acquired, it has to be acquired. And I'm going to equate that to the oil and the lamps. You have to acquire this knowledge and this information and be able to apply that. Okay. What is contained in the sealed portion?
if we would know that. Well, you mean the sealed portion or the
pages? What's contained say? What's contained in the sealed portion with the bolts in it?
Yeah, there's something, there's more revelation from John, right?
And there's the revelation from the whole history of the world from the beginning to the end.
Is it not the vision of Mahanrai Moriankumar?
Exactly.
I think you're right, Michael. Mm-hmm.
I understood, if I might ask a question here, verse 37 of Moroni, he's talking about the record of the revelations of John that the three Nephites saw from the apostle. Would that not be contained on the 23 yet to be translated plates that are already unsealed, part of the 42? Or is that part of the sealed portion that I'm thinking is the 7,000 year period vision of the brother Jared?
Those are great questions. Great questions. Lisa, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, we don't know. I was like, I don't know. We don't know yet.
But that really good observation, Michael. So it's kind of like you just have to apply your intelligence with the information that we have. But that's a very interesting kind of conceptual view of what it is. But what's contained, and I think Russell was hitting at this, it is the, and Michael, it's the beginning from the end. We're going to understand, you know, dinosaurs. We're going to understand this creation and all its beauty and grandeur, how it was constructed. All this history, all this, you know, I'm going to describe the sort of our current theories and principles. A lot of that's going to be disproven. And we're going to see that there was this elegant design and purpose in the creation of the earth. And we're going to understand how it was accomplished, both spiritually and metaphysically or scientifically. I think we'll be able to understand those things. And we will have a much greater appreciation for the unbelievable, unimaginable excellence of our Father in terms of both his knowledge, skill, and his intentions. Okay, who will open the sealed portion?
Christ.
Good. All right. So, and then
it depends on which sealed portion you're talking.
That's
about.
Right, Lisa. Depends on which portion. See, this is interesting. It's layered.
Yeah.
Okay. It's layered.
So here's a thought I have. What if there are seven seals within the Book of Mormon, and we don't even know what seals are coming up? Like we can see the band that has been released, and we can see the two pins of the next seal, but what if there's more seals under that? I don't know.
Lisa, I want to go with that because it might be something like that, because it's cross-referenced to John's work in the seven sealed record.
Ah.
And there are other references that talk about there are seven seals. So it could be that this is true, that there are seals within that sealed portion as well.
And then one other thing I want to bring up is that there's people that have the Book of Mormon that don't believe in the sealed portion that we have right now. So it's still sealed to them. So we need to be really careful that we're very open so that we will be ready to receive the next steps, you know. Like, I don't know, like my dad, you know, will say, oh, well, we're not going to receive the sealed book and sealed portion until we're ready for it. You know, and when will we ever be ready for it? You know, basically. So I don't know, but some of us have it. I don't know. Just another thought.
Yeah. And it's like, Lisa, that reminds me of the Book of Mormon admonition that you need to seek for more knowledge. And those who are comfortable with what they have will have even that taken away from them. And I believe that is part of the condition of the latter days, that the Lord is going to pour out this new knowledge and wisdom, but you need to be ready and willing to accept it and apply it. And this is one of it's spelled out. It's a condition that's already identified in the Book of Mormon. So you cannot ignore these records that are coming forward. You have to acquire that knowledge because it will lead to the next steps. Russell, I noticed that my next video link was sent to you. So you might try to download that. Maybe there's a chance. Olkia's prayer. Maybe there's a chance we can get the second video in as well.
Okay.
Okay, then. Is that going to mess up your screen? Well, let's, while you're trying to do that, let's talk about how to apply this. How to apply this knowledge. So the last question I had on there is, I'm going to say that I believe this is a privileged group. Privileged. Because you, not only have you understood that there's additional knowledge, but that you have sought to apply it and to study it.
And, are they both, you know, are they both named the same thing?
Really? No, it's not. It should be. Does it say? Shouldn't be. Sorry, guys. Let me just double check this. No, there should be a new email that came to you with a new link.
I think it's got it here. There we go.
Yeah, that's it. Isaiah Institute. Okay, let's let that down. Hey, maybe we'll pull it off. Okay, so Russell, can we jump back to the presentation?
Yep. You don't like watching these other videos?
No. I'm not sure what's going to come up on that stuff. That's a commercial site. Okay. All right. So how does the knowledge of these things help us prepare for the days ahead? We have advanced knowledge. We have advanced information. It's sort of like intelligence. You know, the intelligence community gathers all this information. They use that to sort of figure out what's happening. And we have advanced information. So we're extremely privileged in that aspect. The most important thing is it's the application of that knowledge. Okay, Russell, let's go to the next page. I'm looking at that. We're doing okay, I think, on time here. Okay, 3 Nephites chapter 12. Now, I command you that you should search these things diligently according to the words of Isaiah. Where have you heard that before?
In the Book of Mormon.
Book of Mormon. Does it surprise you that you're hearing this again?
No, it's the same voice.
It's the same voice. Is this message being reinforced again? And why? Why is it so important?
To understand the importance of the words of Isaiah. Because he's referring to, in the sealed book, he's referring to it twice, I believe.
I think you're right.
Because he's speaking now.
I think that part of it is that if we understood Isaiah fully and we had the Spirit with us, we would be enlightened to the point that we actually would have the sealed portion kind of revealed to us. I mean, that's a kind of an opening of the sealed portion.
This is what I believe. This is what I believe. That what Russell said is that, maybe I want to say that again, Russell, but it could be revealed to you personally, individually. You could acquire that knowledge.
Exactly.
Can you say that again, Russell?
Well, it's just that if you understood fully the book of Isaiah and had the Spirit guide and direct you, you would have revealed to you the kinds of information that's in the sealed record.
I believe that is you hit it on the head. Okay, so here we have this being reinforced that we need to study diligently to understand the words of Isaiah and that these things can be restored among the Gentile in regard to the fullness of times. It's going to be important because it's going to be rough. It's going to be very rocky, the road ahead. But if you understand that and understand what the outcomes are, you can be prepared for that and you can endure and weather those things well. But you need to know.
Yes, and this is also where the sealed book is a big help, all the scriptures, but the sealed book in particular, to examine myself and see what weak points I have, you know, and trying to become better so I can be more when the afflictions come, you know, that you have practiced in these things, and also practiced in having the faith in God that he in the end will win. Because it's hard, you know, when, for instance, when you're in an earthquake and everything is shattered around you, or a big pile of chemical things are being is in the sky, and all the living things dying, you know, it's hard to be cool at that moment. So it also helps, you know, to build up to these moments, to really feel the connection with God, and that he has your back. But yeah, it's a challenge. But this is what the sealed book, that's an effect of the sealed book, and it's one of the effects, which is very important, I think.
Sure.
Really well said. And I'm gonna tie that again back to the oil in your lamp. You're gonna have to have that spiritual power, knowledge, and resource depth within you to be able to endure these times. It is not going to be easy. Okay, Russell, let's go ahead to the next slide then. Okay. Here's Isaiah. Now the idea is understanding the prophecies of Isaiah here. And he says, hearken diligently unto me. My ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. It is an unbelievable stretch for us in our comprehension of a three-dimensional world to begin to even try to comprehend the understanding of the Lord. I understand that his brilliance is 10,000 times brighter than our sun, and that you cannot stand in his presence because of the brilliance of his love, intelligence, knowledge, and personality. You cannot even stand in his presence. And so his thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Well, there's some corrective instruction here. There is some changes that need to take place in our thought patterns and in our understanding. And that is acquired through education and through knowledge and practice. But we need to be conforming ourselves. And this is, I believe, what Jesus Christ did when he was on the earth. He was setting the example of this selfless, consecrated service. And he received the power of God, too. And this is another prophecy in the Book of Mormon, that as we do these things and consecrate ourselves, we will receive the power of God to be able to accomplish great things, to accomplish miracles, to move that cloud of poison out of the way. It can be done through the exercise of faith and the exercise of God's power, which he has promised to the righteous in these times to overcome these difficulties. Okay, I think we're ready. All right. Okay, so I'm jumping over to the Isaiah Institute. Russell's mentioned this. I worked on a project for the Isaiah Institute and have read many, many of the books over there, which I found very useful in understanding Isaiah and how to interpret his writings. But the question is, what might we expect when might we expect the prophecies of Isaiah to be fulfilled? Okay, it covers the brief period of time that immediately precedes the coming of Jehovah to reign on earth. So this is the Isaiah Institute, it's Abram, also known as the Day of Jehovah. It begins with God's raising up his end-time servant in response to a general apostasy of his people and the concurrent rise to world power of a materialistic antichrist ruler from the north. I'm just giving you one snapshot that comes from the Isaiah Institute here. I don't know much about this end-time servant thing. I've looked at it. I know it's in the record. I've seen it. The general apostasy of his people? Check.
Yep.
The concurrent rise to world power of a materialistic antichrist ruler?
Check. Materialistic is just not in material, but military, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Militaristic.
What
militaristic.
Okay. So that's a difference.
With the recent developments that are taking place in Asia, you know, East Asia, I believe that we may be seeing this rising power, as Daniel describes it, the prince of the north, or the king of the north.
I think it's
possible. We may be seeing these things actually unfold before our very eyes.
I think it's possible that we may not even have a 2024 election in the United States. We're that close to turmoil and catastrophe.
Because the country is in turmoil, you mean, Russell?
Because I think that we may have our whole power grid shut down. In the midst of a war that has this totally embobulated.
So if you study the revelations of Daniel and others, they talk about these powers that will rise up, and they will create world war. And what's the end result of this 200 million soldier army? They're going to surround Jerusalem. And we are now seeing the military technology, the infrastructure, and the resources being put in place to actually carry this out.
Now, you're about out of time. Do you want your institute video?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's launch that institute video.
Hear, O heavens, give heed, O earth, Jehovah has spoken. I have reared sons, brought them up, but they have revolted against me. Alas, a nation astray, a people weighed down by sin. They have forsaken Jehovah. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel. They have lapsed into apostasy. Their land is full of silver and gold, and there is no end to their wealth. Their land is full of horses, and there is no end to their chariots. They adore the works of their hands, things their own fingers have made. All who manufacture idols are deranged. The things they cherish profit nothing. They have despised the law of Jehovah of hosts and reviled the words of the Holy One of Israel. There are harps and lyres, drums, flutes, and wine at their banquets, but they regard not what Jehovah does. O Jehovah, your hand is lifted up, but they perceive it not. Their eyes are glazed so they cannot see. Their minds are incapable of discernment. Seeing much, but not giving heed. With open ears, hearing nothing. Jehovah has poured out on you a spirit of deep sleep. O you deaf, listen. O you blind, look and see. You have forgotten your God, your salvation. Why do you spend money on what is not bread? Your labor on what does not satisfy. It is your iniquities that separate you from your God. Your sins hide his face so that he does not hear you. What will you do in the day of reckoning when the Holocaust overtakes you from afar? I have decreed calamity for the world. punishment for the wicked. I will put an end to the arrogance of insolent men and humble the pride of tyrants. The palaces shall lie abandoned, the clamorous towns deserted. Mourn for all the amusement houses in the city of entertainment. I will make mankind scarcer than fine gold, men more rare than gold of Ophir. Jehovah of hosts will carry out the utter destruction decreed upon the whole earth. He raises an ensign to distant nations and summons them from beyond the horizon. The tread of their war horses resembles flint. Their chariot wheels revolve like a whirlwind. Therefore will my Lord cause to come up over them the great and mighty waters of the river, the king of Assyria in all his glory. His purpose shall be to annihilate and to exterminate nations, not a few. He will rise up over all his channels and overflow all his banks. His outspread wings will span the breadth of your land. Your choice valleys will fill with chariots, and cavalry take up positions at your gateways. Your men shall be felled by the sword, your might overthrown in war. For by a hail shall forests be felled, cities utterly leveled. From the north shall come pillars of smoke, and no place he has designated shall evade it. Suddenly, in an instant, your crowds of evildoers shall become as fine dust, your violent mobs like flying chaff. I will cause disturbance in the heavens when the earth is jolted out of place. At evening time shall be the catastrophe, and before morning they shall be no more. They rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, till he became their enemy and himself fought against them. Those who trust in idols and esteem their images as gods shall retreat in utter confusion. The elite of the earth shall be made wretched. The population of the earth shall be diminished, and little of mankind remain. When the windows on high are opened, the earth shall shake to its foundations. The earth shall break up and cave in. The earth shall convulse and lurch. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, sway back and forth like a shanty. It is Jehovah's day of vengeance, the year of retribution on behalf of Zion. Whole nations have been burned like lime, mown down like thorns, and set ablaze. I trod nations underfoot in my anger. I made them drunk by my rage when I cast their glory to the ground. With fire and with his sword shall Jehovah execute judgment on all flesh.
Okay, that's a little sobering.
Yes, but you can say that again. Where is it in Isaiah? Which chapter is this?
The references are in the video. And so
he shows
the scripture links in the video.
Oh.
So if you want to study this in more depth, you can go to the Isaiah Institute's webpage, and there are 7 of these vignettes up there. And it's the fastest snapshot of what the prophecies of Isaiah actually say about the end time. And it is very alarming as far as what the prophet has said. He's not kidding around about it comes in the evening, and in the morning there's nothing left. There's no other conclusion except nuclear weapons. And okay, so I know I'm running out of time. Russ, let's go to the next slide. Yeah, right there. And it's at the bottom of the page. You can see the vignettes down here. I believe this is the right page. Yeah. Keep going. Down, down, down. Right here. There's 7 of them. And I just took the first 6 minutes of vignette number 1. Okay. It'll shake you up.
It is pretty... you know, with the images, you know, they're modern day images. So, and in combination with the music, it's woo.
Yeah.
Intense.
So our purpose here, what I believe we're hearing from the sealed book, is that we are to understand these prophecies and know what's coming. Okay, now I'm going to wrap up here. Visions of glory. You know, I know Russell's going to do something about prophecy in the next week or so, but this is a book, and he talks about in the Visions of Glory record, and this is something that's discussed on the Institute site, that there is going to be a launch of nuclear weapons. And angels and transfigured beings minister to the worthy and faithful and protect them as they begin their journey to Zion. So it's up to us. If you're prepared mentally and then physically, and in terms of physical preparations even, will you be able to pass this test of loyalty? And Bolke, you know, she mentioned it here. When the earth is shaking or the sky is filled with poisonous fumes, are you going to have the oil, the mental and physical, spiritual preparation to know that these things are happening and what the end result is, and that you can navigate your way through this? Now, this is my last slide here. They're not kidding around. The doomsday clock was 90 seconds from obliteration. You can look at Putin's written statements that he's going to turn Britain, their cities, into glass. This guy is not kidding around. He's not bluffing. And he is going to launch a nuclear attack if certain conditions are met, and he's made it very clear. So people, I think, are asleep. It says there, your eyes they're glazed over. They don't seem to appreciate where these people are coming from, where the Russians are coming from, or the Chinese, where they're coming from. And they don't appreciate or understand their capability. So by understanding Isaiah, we can understand that these are really conditions that are developing and maturing in the latter times. Okay, I think that's it for my material. I think I ran over a little bit there.